You know, sometimes that's true what they're saying. Sometimes we're so busy, we can't see God's glory because we're so busy being busy. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is...
You know, sometimes that's true what they're saying. Sometimes we're so busy, we can't see God's glory because we're so busy being busy. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is just in case. And what you think, that this is not a pacemaker. I tell you, I've got a pacemaker hooked up to my heart tonight, it'd blow the pacemaker.
And so this is what this is. I don't want anybody to be concerned about that. This is in case. No, it's not in case.
You know, the Lord's really been dealing with me. I have to watch my mouth. I was going to say it was going to be in case I said anything of value and somebody wanted to hear it again. That is terrible, isn't it? And the Spirit of God just spoke to me. He said, what are you standing up there thinking like that for? That's right. I mean, you know, if you think like that, you ought not to be preaching. Is that not right? For a man to think like that, he ought to go over and sit down and have one of you come up here.
I'm just wondering which one.
Praise the Lord. No, the purpose for this is maybe I want to hear it again, you see, and see how beautifully the Lord does with a pile of clay, you know. And I share this with you. I think I can share this. You'll understand how I feel. Sometimes after a service, I'll take a tape and just listen to it. And I hear a couple of weeks ago, it was what God did was so beautiful. And I said to Lois when I got home, I was sitting on the edge of the bed. And I said, Lois, I said, did it really sound like that? Because I can't really tell, you know, as it's coming out. And a lot of what we hear, this... time for confessions, I guess, but a lot of what we hear, you hear it, and I hear it at the same time. You understand what I'm saying to you? All right? So if you're here tonight, God's got a special purpose for your being here, and I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that the Lord impressed upon me this afternoon to read, and I'm going to begin to share on that Scripture. We're going to depend upon the Spirit of God to lead us. Now, I know... based on God's promise, this is in the 8th chapter of Matthew. If you have your Bible, it'll help you if you find this opening and just read along with us. The Lord told me a couple of years ago when I told Him that I would serve Him. And He gave me a promise. I don't remember what the circumstances were, but I'll never forget the promise. He said, son, as long as you're working for me, I'll never waste your time. As long as you're doing what I told you to do, I'll never waste your time. Because I used to wonder, he'd provide an opportunity to go out and pray for somebody or to minister to somebody or to speak. And like after the service was over or after the meeting was over or whatever the situation was, sometimes you don't feel like anything really took place. And the Lord just ministered to my spirit. He says, son, as long as you are obeying me, I will never waste your time. And that tells me that for the next number of minutes here, whatever the Lord has planned, He's not going to waste my time, and He's not going to waste yours. So I'm going to get something of value here in the next few moments. And if you want to get something of value, it'll be available for you. You just reach out and receive it. All right? Can we go on it? Can we go together that way? All right. Beginning to read in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 5th verse, and... So that you know, on Sunday afternoon is when I normally pray and seek the Lord and study and so on and get ready for Sunday evening. And I share these things with you so that I believe it'll help you in this way. I remember when I was growing up and even as an adult, and I'd go to church and I'd watch a man preach. And I would wonder, oh, how do you ever do that? You know, and I think that he really had something special that nobody else would ever have. But
But the Lord has impressed upon me that I should share with the people of God how He works with me so that it would cause confidence to rise up in God's people. Do you understand what I'm saying? That if you know how God gives me things, then He gives you the same way. Because He's no respecter of persons, is He? And after a message, for example, if you think that was of value and it was worthwhile, I want you to know where it came from and how it was developed so that you'll have the confidence and the boldness and the assurance to trust God for yourself in your own ministry, whatever it is God's called you to do. And that's why I share these things with you. At any rate, this afternoon when I was praying and seeking God, and I had been with Him about an hour, I guess, and I didn't really have anything. And finally I said, Lord, just forgive me. Why didn't I just ask You? What is it that You want me to preach on tonight? And He said, Matthew 8. And I began to turn in my Bible. He said, verse 5. So I opened it up, and sure enough, verse 5, you'll see it's a convenient place to begin. The story about the centurion who had the sick servant. And I began to read that story, and then the Lord began to deal with me about a part of it. Let's read it, just follow along as I read, beginning in the 5th verse. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The Lord seems to be dealing with us in these Sunday evening services, especially on the matter of healing and on the matter of receiving healing from God. And there are many, many verses in this particular story that we could take and minister on, and God would give a tremendous blessing from, I know. If you take just the passage about the authority and how this man said, I'm a man under authority, and I know you are also, and just begin to talk about that, God could show us a great many blessings, or blessed things, out of that verse. But the verse that I was struck with as I read this passage is the 13th. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that would come unto God must believe that He exists and is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. We know that we must have faith to please God and to receive from God. But one of the things that I constantly hear is, I believe God, but I didn't receive what I asked Him for. I had faith, but I don't have the answer to my prayer. I believed the Lord, honest Vic, I did, but I didn't get it. I believe the Lord wants to show us tonight how we can evaluate the level or the quality of our faith. Jesus said to the centurion, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And what happened to the man's servant? He was healed right now. Now, what does that say about the centurion's faith? The centurion had faith adequate to touch God for the healing of his servant. Is that not right? Because Jesus said, according to your faith, as you've believed, be it done unto you. Now, suppose the servant had not been healed. Jesus said, as you have believed, be it done unto you. If the servant had not been healed, what could you say about the centurion's faith? He didn't really have faith for healing, did he? He had maybe faith. He had hope for healing, but he did not have healing faith. If he had, the servant would have been healed. Now look down here in the 9th chapter. Verse 1. And he, that is Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you remember the balance of the story? How Jesus ministered not only forgiveness to this man, but also healing to this paralytic. And he came up off of his bed and walked that day. Why? Verse 2 is the key. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto him. All right, look on over into the 9th chapter a little further. Beginning in the 20th verse. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. What kind of faith did she have? Faith to make her whole. And she was made whole right then. Now look down in the 27th verse. And when Jesus departed thence, two men following him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Here are four times in the span of less than two chapters where Jesus talks about faith being necessary to receive from God. And he says, the way I read it, that you can evaluate your faith on the basis of what you've received. If you have received the answer to your request, you know that you have exercised faith adequate to receive it. If you have not received the answer to your request, you have not yet exercised faith to receive it yet. Do you see that? He says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Now folks say, well, I believed. Turn over to the book of James. Second chapter of the book of James. I've been asking the Lord to teach us about these things, to show us in the Scripture. I want Him to show me, and then I want to be able to share that. Why things happen the way they do. 2nd chapter of James, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe. Now let me ask you something. How many devils do you know that are saved? Did you ever see one? Did you ever meet a saved devil? Well, you see, if believing is all it takes, then all the devils would be saved, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? Because it says here clearly that even the devils believe. They know who God is. They believe it so that they tremble. But they do not have faith towards God. There's a difference. They believe that there's God, but they don't have faith in Him or faith toward Him. If they did, they wouldn't be devils. What would they be? They'd be saints or they'd be God's angels. Do you see that? There's a difference, you see, in just believing and having faith which will touch God. Now, while we're there in the book of James, this is Let us begin to read in the 14th verse. We've talked about this briefly before, but I think we'll go a little deeper tonight. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? What does it profit? If a man says with his mouth, I have faith, but he doesn't have works, can his faith save him? What's James saying here? If you do not have actions which correspond with what your faith is, you'll not be saved. You'll not receive what it is that you're asking for from God. Faith without the corresponding actions that go with faith doesn't work. It's dead. It won't get you saved. It won't get you healed. It won't get you delivered. It won't get you baptized in the Holy Ghost. How many of you were baptized in the Holy Ghost with your mouths shut? How many of you tried to get baptized in the Holy Ghost with your mouths shut? See what I mean? You see how it works? You can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost without corresponding actions. You can believe all day long and not receive unless you have actions to go along with it. You can't be born again without actions that will correspond with your faith. The Bible says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10. With the heart man believes, with the mouth he confesses. He comes forward to an altar. He repents of his sin. He turns away from it, and he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. Or he kneels beside his bed at home. Or he gets in a car down a backcountry road somewhere. And he says, Jesus, I'm sorry for the life I've lived. I turn away from that. I recognize you as the Son of God. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I take you as my Savior. I invite you to come into my heart and be my Savior. But do you know when that salvation becomes real? When his actions begin to line up with what he's believing in his heart. When he says, Jesus is my Lord. I want to just share something with you that happened here last Sunday night. Last Sunday evening, the Spirit of God was moving in this place in a way that I don't think I have ever seen God's Holy Spirit move. And at about 10 o'clock, we were ready to go home, but the Holy Spirit wasn't ready to let us. Don't get nervous. But at about 10 o'clock, we were ready to close the service, and the Spirit of the Lord just whispered to me, issue an invitation for salvation. And I said rather casually, is there anybody here that doesn't know this Jesus that we've been praising tonight? This Jesus that's been healing and delivering and touching people. Is there anybody here that doesn't know him? I could hardly get the words out, and a young boy stepped off the aisle right over there where the new folks are sitting, right about in that area. Stepped off the aisle, and it was like he was waiting. And came down the aisle, and he stood here, and I asked him, did he want to be saved? And he said, oh, yes. I don't think I've ever seen anybody with a heart so hungry for Jesus. I mean, he was hungry for God. And as he stood right here, and I began to pray with him, and I prayed, and he followed me in the prayer. And some of you that were seated close by could see what was going on, but some of the rest of you wouldn't know exactly what was happening. And he was following me in that prayer and receiving Jesus, and he invited Jesus to come into his heart. But nothing happened to him until I said these words, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. And he repeated after me, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. I said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me and washing me clean. He said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me and washing me clean. And as he began to say, thank you, Jesus, his whole countenance changed. I mean, I could see the transformation in his heart on his face. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, he could have stood there and prayed and cried and wailed all night long, you see, and never gotten saved until he said, thank you, Jesus. I believe you saved me. I believe you forgave me. I believe you came into my heart. I believe that you're my Lord and my Savior and my Master, and I thank you for it. And when he said thank you with his mouth, you see, when his actions began to line up with his believing, then and only then was his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I believe that's where a lot of folks in the church miss it. They say, well, you know, I'll ask a lady lady begin to come to church, you know, and I know she loves the Lord, and we'll be sharing the good things of God and the things of the Spirit, and I'll ask her, is your husband saved? And she says, well, not really like we are. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, he's been to the altar, you know, but he doesn't want to come to church. He's living like everybody else in the world, but he's been to the altar and he's been baptized. We know a lot of folks go to the altar and never get saved. How many of you have been to the altar? When I say been to the altar, now you understand what I mean by being to the altar. How many of you have been to Jesus more than once before you received your salvation? Just let me see your hands. Okay. See? It wasn't until you believed on Him. You must believe on Him before you'll receive that salvation. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Sister Connie is another example. And I hope you don't mind me using you as an example. But Connie was saved in one of our evening services in the kitchen at the EMC. And she cried and moaned and, oh, please, God, oh, I beg you, forgive me. Oh, God, please. I mean, it was pitiful. It really was pitiful. And she was instructed there, well, now, wait a minute. Now, doesn't the Bible say that if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? She says, yes. I said, well, what are you begging for anymore? Just thank Him. She began to say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. All of a sudden, she just got a light in her face. See, you could see what was happening on the inside by what was happening on the outside. All right, salvation is like that. Receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost is like that. You can pray, pray, pray. So many in the church are instructed, you know, tarry around the altar. Just pray there. Just pray all night if you have to, and just pray that Holy Ghost down upon you. Well, you can pray there until you're blue in the face. You can starve to death praying at the altar like that and never get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And a lot of folks have. And folks have been in Spirit-filled churches and never received the baptism in the Holy Ghost because they were improperly instructed. They prayed, 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 tarried, 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 cried, 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 had hands laid on them until their hair was worn off the top of their heads. That was not what happened to me. I've been searching the Bible for a promise about that, but I haven't been able to find one. But you understand what I'm saying now. It's not the praying, you see, that gets that job done. It's when your actions begin to line up with your believing. When you begin to thank God, when you begin to praise Him, when you begin to agree with His Word that if we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, that He'll give it to us. And when you begin to believe that, and begin to act upon it. And how do you act upon it for receiving the Holy Ghost? You open up your mouth and you begin to speak in the utterance in the unknown tongue, you see? Because you believe that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I've talked to, I don't know how many people, has God baptized you in the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, He has. Well, let me hear you speak in tongues. Well, I can't. Well, you see, someone in that kind of a situation doesn't believe he's been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. All he believes is that he's been touched by God. Do you see how you can evaluate your faith by the results? Do you see that? That's what I want us to see tonight. The results which you get will tell you what level your faith is operating at. Now, if you're not receiving what it is you need from God, you don't pray more, you start believing. Let me say that again. If you're not receiving what you need from God, the answer is not lots more prayer. I mean, that'll help. There's nothing wrong with that. But the solution is to start believing it and start acting on it. If you believe you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. If you believe that you've been healed, then act like it. If you believe that there's prosperity operating in your life, then begin to confess that and act like it. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And I'll tell you what it says to me. If I'm not satisfied yet with the level of blessing that is operable in my life, then I'm going to learn how to exercise more faith until I can receive it. And how does faith come? By hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God. That's how you increase your faith. Let's read some more here out of James 2. 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James says, by my actions, by my confession, by what I do, I will demonstrate unto you my faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I want to talk about that for just a minute. I'd asked Jerry this week. Jerry and I had been talking at the office one day about, I said, you know, isn't there in the Bible somewhere a verse that says that your faith can be perfected? He says, yeah, there is. I don't know where it is. I didn't either, and I kind of put, just, you know, it kind of dropped out of my mind there. But today it came back to me, and I looked it up. How does your faith become perfected? By your works. Your faith is perfected by what you do. Your faith is made perfect by actions that correspond with what you're believing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Works or corresponding actions will make your faith perfect. And perfect faith will touch God for what it is you need. Now you see, this is the explanation for why, and I don't know if any of you have asked the question, but I've asked the question. Why is it that when people come for ministry, and we do usually minister on Sunday evening, and we're going to minister here in a little bit, anybody that needs ministry, needs personal ministry. And I've asked the question, why is it that a person will come asking and desiring to receive something from God and have hands laid upon them, be prayed for, and the glorious power of God descend upon them to such a degree that they can't stand in the presence of that power and fall down. And get up 5 minutes later, no different than before they fell. Ask the question, why is that? Now here, God was here. God's power was here. You see, when people fall like that, it's a demonstration of the presence of God. God wants us to know that He's here to do what needs to be done. You see, when Joan was standing in here for Max Bennett, and the power of God, I didn't push her over. She wouldn't let me anyway, you know that. I didn't push her over. The power of God came upon her as we were praying, and she couldn't stand before it. And she fell down. Now, what does that say? Why does God do that? God is manifesting the power of His very presence. Now, you must know that stuns me a little bit. To know that right here where we're standing, I mean in this very spot, right here, that the power of God, it's still here, that the power of God is so present here. So much of His power is here because He's here. That means all of His ability is here too. That means, if you're a carpenter and you're standing here, then that means you got the ability to do carpenter work right here. Is that not right? If God's presence is here, everything God can do can be done right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when I think about that, it blows my mind. I can see now why Jesus said, you don't put new wine in old bottles because it'll blow the old bottles up. You have to have new bottles, put that new wine in. Because you can't handle that kind of, I couldn't. But to know that God's power and His presence is here to minister whatever it is, whether it be the straightening of an arm, whether it be the opening of an eye, whether it be the unstopping of an ear, whether it be the casting out of a devil, whether it be for the eternal salvation of a soul, whether it be for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, whether it be for the healing of a marriage, whether it be for freedom from anguish or confusion or fear or doubt, whatever it is, the power of God is present here. Then I would ask myself, why don't some people receive? Why don't they get what it is that they're asking God for? God's power is there. It's demonstrated. They fall under it. And you've heard me say many times that falling under the power is not the healing. Falling under the power is not the deliverance. Falling under the power is not the salvation. Falling under the power is the evidence of the presence of Almighty God to do that which you want done. But you must receive it by faith. You must stand fast and act like you believe that which God has promised you belongs to you and you are receiving it now. And if you're blind, you'll see. And if you're lame, you'll walk. And if you're bound, you'll be set free in accordance with God's word. That's what he said. That's what he said. Now I want you to know this too. God has given unto every one of his children faith. If you are a child of God, you already have faith. He's given it to you. If you didn't have faith, you're not born again. It comes with the package. And God requires you to use what he's given you. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, you don't really need your faith increased. What you need to do is to learn how to use what you've already got. Because if you had faith the size of a little grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this sycamore tree, be thou cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Faith. More than just believing. Faith. Touching God. Faith is acting in accordance with that which you profess to believe. It takes believing and it takes action. And when you do both, when you have Bible faith, like Jesus was talking about, you not only please God, but you'll receive from God every time, not once in a while. You see, God does not want us to play roulette with Him. He doesn't want us to get prayed for 8 times and receive twice. Well, we'll just keep trying it, you see, until we get it right, until we figure out what's going on. He wants us to know His ways. He's given us His holy word that we might understand how it is He works. And if we want Jesus Christ of Nazareth to touch us today, in the same way He touched the blind man, in the same way He spoke the word to concerning the servant of the centurion, if we want God's power manifest today in the way it was through Jesus, then we're going to have to meet the same conditions that the people in Bible days did. And if we meet those same conditions, we'll get the same results. I hope that ministers to you. It helps me. It helps me. Can we pray? Father, we thank you that you've not left us to our own devices. We thank you, Father, that you've not left us to stumble around, going from pillar to post, not really knowing what it is that you desire and require, but that you have clearly shown us in your word what our part in receiving from you is, that we must ask and truly believe. We must ask, truly believe, demonstrate our faith by actions which are in harmony with our believing, then we shall receive. We thank you, Father, that there is a way that we can evaluate our faith and know whether it is true Bible faith or a weak substitute. We thank you, Father, also, that you require us to operate at the highest level of faith that we can in our own individual lives. We thank you, Father, that you don't continue to treat us like little babies. And we think, Father, of little tiny babies that when they're hungry, they grunt and they cry. and mothers hurry and run and put food in their mouth. But as the babies begin to walk, mothers no longer feed them when they grunt or when they cry. But when they have learned how to talk, mothers require them to ask. Father, we thank you that you don't want us to be 30-year-old babies grunting and crying for something to eat, but that you want us to grow up into mature manhood unto the full stature of the measure of Christ Jesus. And we thank you, our Father, that you have established these ways to cause us to grow up in him, that we might be mature men and women in Christ, and that we might be used mightily of you. We thank you, Father, for the truth that you've shared with us tonight, for the ministry of the Word tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, that every word that you spoke is pure and that it's truth, and that your word is profitable for us for instruction, for correction, for reproof, and for doctrine. And as we receive with meekness the implanted and engrafted word, it is able to save our souls and our minds and get them turned around and renewed and thinking right in accordance with your word. We thank you, Father, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But we thank you also, Father, that not only are you able, but that you don't go off doing it all by yourself, but that you've called us as your children to be partners in that which you're doing, not only in our lives individually, but also in the world. We give you thanks for that, Father, that we're part of your work. Now, Father, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 The Lord has just ministered to me that it's according to Joan's faith, which she manifested here earlier this evening, that man received in Follinsby, West Virginia. Just the same way that the centurion's faith received for his servant. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise be unto the name of Jesus. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, for those that who you've ministered to by your word tonight, who are in need, whatever the need may be, our Father, we pray that you would move by your Spirit now and show those that you'd have to come for ministry. We depend upon you to do the work that you promised that you would do when we come in Bible faith believing. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.